Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard. Cut. Now I can use that. All right.
Both times.
No, now we'll start this episode. I'll just cut this off.
Oh, look at you.
Put that at the beginning. All right, let's get that going.
I'm in their same t-shirt, so.
I make magic in the editing booth.
Magic.
I can turn slop. I can turn pig slop into gold, which is what I
do every
week.
Not
every week, just any episode we don't have a guest. Then it's difficult. Then I got to turn some slop into gold. But you know what I don't have to turn into gold? Because they already did. Ooga Brewing Company's gold medal winning at the 2022 World Beer Cup.
Look at you.
Gold medal in the chili beer category. Big thanks to our friends at Ooga Brewing for providing beer with this episode. What do you got over there, buddy?
Blended in there. Look at you go. Blended in. That's delicious. How is it? Spicy?
No, delicious. Jalapenos have a really good flavor.
They got a good flavor.
This will slowly, as I drink the whole glass, I'll start to heat up.
Yeah,
but it'll probably be good for. I might be dripping by the end of the episode.
Oh, that'd be sexy.
Yeah, because
it might
loosen the sinuses a little bit. Yeah.
Do you want to snort some? Should I get you a straw?
Snort some? No, I'm not.
Get that shit moving.
I'm not into snorting. I've never snorted. I'll never snort.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, you know what I'm drinking tonight, thanks to our great friends at Great Lakes Distillery.
Oh, okay. I thought you just had to one-up me because I said good friends. You're like, our great friends, like they're better friends.
Well, I was tying it into their name.
No, I got it now. I got it. I know. It took me a second.
Which we've had on the podcast before, but they were gracious enough to give us another bottle of Dirty Helen, but this time it's the bourbon. I've never had the bourbon, so I am excited. This is great. They were so fun to work with.
Oh, we're just started.
And the collaborations are just starting.
We're just started.
And the things we can do with these three bottles of booze is going to be endless.
I got to remember to stop burping during the booze.
Well, that'd be nice. That'd be nice.
I thought I went about halfway through the burp.
Hold on.
I was going to just ask you a question.
Oh, that's good.
It's about Dirty Helen. Did I get you that for your birthday this past year or was it the year before?
The year before.
Okay, because I want to go back and find the episode that we...
It was the year before because you gave it to me in... We were traveling somewhere.
Traveling?
Maybe to Josh in Chicago. Don't quote me.
Josh.
Nope. We were somewhere. We were in Airbnb when you gave it to me.
So it's like now. I mean, obviously, this is at least like 2 and maybe 3 weeks removed from when we hung out with Josh. Still feeling it. I stayed up past midnight.
Oh, I stayed up longer than we needed to.
Yeah.
That is good. Do you want to try it?
No, I'm good.
Next time?
Next time.
We're sick. You have two sick boys here.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not trying the beer right now. I could get another glass, but we'll try it in due time. Delicious. Good stuff.
Believe me.
We are so spoiled.
We're going to have more Ugo. We're going to have more Great Lakes on the podcast. So
fuck, we spoiled.
We are spoiled. I know.
This is great stuff.
Yeah, we got lucky to get hooked up with two fantastic Wisconsin businesses and...
You know, and we're not sellouts, and I'll make that clear. If we don't like the stuff that we're drinking, we're not gonna, and we would not encourage it on our brand.
How much are they paying for the ad read?
They're not.
Because I will sell out for an ad read. We've done some ad reads for stuff
that wait till we get paid for the ad reads to sell out.
I'm just saying.
Until then, we got integrity.
We've done some ad reads for stuff that I'm like,
never. We cannot be bought.
Well, here's my thing. With my beer, if I didn't like the beer I was drinking, that's on me because they specifically asked me what I wanted. So
true.
And I drank there before. And I know what's good.
And
I know what I like. I shouldn't say I know what's, it's all good.
Like
it
so much you brought me there.
Yeah. Yeah. And Uga just stumbled upon you last year and so happy. My wife has to pee a lot when you're on road trips because we just had to hit a quick trip. And I'm like, well, there's a quick trip right down here. And then we're like, oh, no, there's not. Keep going. Hey, there's a brewery. Pull over. Okay.
And there's, look at that. That's so easy to access.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, there we go. That it's what is very easy to access is our website. So check it out. Our Instagram page is easy to access. Our Facebook page is easy to access. We're just easy,
spicy
all the time. Check us on X. Go to YouTube. Give us a like, subscribe, you know, put that little ring, that little notification bell, ding, and ding, you ding. Will be the first to get new episodes.
One of the first. We have a lot of people
We have so many people. And we're on all the music platforms as well, Spotify and music, Apple Music and all that.
Apple Podcasts.
Because of you can listen to us. Everybody wants to see our beautiful faces, but
no,
if you can't, just listen to us. We have beautiful voices as well. So until that, we have a very, very, we don't want to keep a pretty lady waiting.
So without further ado, the founder and lead singer of Sweet Lizzy Project, Lisette Diaz.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you very much for joining us, Lisette Diaz from Sweet Lizzy Project.
Thank you for having me.
So we saw you at Mile of Music this year and fell in love. You were one of them. And it happens every year at Mile of Music and so many bands that I've fallen in love with that I didn't even know that I needed. It's the Wild Adriatic, Me Like Bees. And this year was Sweet Lizzy Project. You were the band that I didn't know I was going to see. I was going to see Traveling Suitcase. She's playing right after you guys. So we got there early and I'm glad we did because you guys were awesome. And,
well, thank you.
Really glad to get you on the podcast. Yeah.
Well, the same thing happens to me every year at Mile Music. I am so looking forward to our performance, of course, but also because I know I'm going to introduce myself to great music.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So you've been there before?
Third year,
yeah,
right?
This is a third year. Yeah.
How did we miss them?
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's so many things
see. There's so many.
And
yeah.
You just.
There's a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard to get everything you want to, even if you know a bunch of bands, it's hard to see them all because of schedule and there's this and there's that. And then you're like, you make all your plans. That's the way I always used to start Mile of Music. I would make these plans before I would go and they'd be over by 15 minutes in because somebody else was like, let's go see these guys instead. So,
yeah.
So how did you guys get hooked up with Mile of Music to begin with?
I think it was through a booking agent. My cat just don't touch anything. They can finally hear me. Go away. Go.
We get a lot of animal cameos. We love it.
Okay. So it was through our booking agent. I remember when she told me, do you want to play Mild Music? And I had never heard of the show.
Yeah,
the festival. So I was like, well, I don't know. It seemed to me like more of a singer-songwriter kind of thing. And our band gets kind of intense. So, and loud. So I don't know. And I was so wrong. So wrong. Like we fell in love with the festival and Appleton and everything about Mile Music that first year.
That's so cool.
That's great to hear. Yeah. We love to hear that.
We're so proud of it. It's our shining achievement in our little town, you know, I mean, not that little, but it's so cool, the music that they're able to bring in and the fact that it's all original music and
yes,
so many bands and you just get introduced to so much good music.
Yeah, 100%.
So how did you think preparing for that? All right, I want to blow the socks off on your first year. Which songs did you bring? You're like, these are the ones I think they need to hear.
The first year or in general?
Yeah, the first year, just to win people over.
The first year. What did we do the first year? Oh, we were releasing an album. So
good timing.
We kind of knew. Yeah. Same with this year. Like, yeah, it was perfect.
Right, this year too.
We released an album and Mild Music was the first stop of the tour. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we knew what we were going to play because the album was out. And, you know, I was kind of nervous about it because, again, it went, our show in all the places include some covers, or it used to, not anymore. We have too many originals now. So it's it's hard to pick and choose. But back then we could play some covers too. And it was great because it was a way to win people over. But not at Mild Music. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have to play all of our songs. Nobody knows them. And yeah, it's a new album. So anyways,
people are open to that here. Yeah. They love the new music.
People are actually looking forward to it. And everybody's so respectful and so just so nice. Everybody's so nice.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So now from year one to two, did you got the jitters out of your way and you're ready to come back and did you have an album release a second year?
Not the second year, I had some music. So we had some new music out, like singles and stuff. So we played some new songs, but we felt a lot more confident the second year just because we knew that people were nice and it's going to be okay. But nothing compared to this last year. We knew it was going to be great. Like, our expectations were this high, but it was like up here.
How many shows did you play this year?
4 years. We've always played four shows. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was four shows, and this year we played the Jones Park for the first time.
Yeah. Amazing venue.
The first 2 years, I would walk by the hotel, and you can see the venue from up there. I'm like, I want to play there. Like one day, one Mild Music, I'm going to be there. And then this year, I was like, suck it, I'm here.
Awesome. And that's the show I saw, and the energy was palpable. Like, the crowd loved it. There was so much energy. And it was a great show. I love what you guys did with the... with the Instagram reel too, where you did the jump before the show and then landed after the show. It was very well put together for promo.
Perfect.
And I'm like, I'm in that picture somewhere. Just wait.
Yeah. Well, the final edit looks a lot better than the individual clips to make that happen. Just because we're bad, we suck at social media, and we completely forgot. Like, and we were leaving the stage when I'm like, oh no, we have to jump again, and then everybody was. But I have to post a whole video of us like trying to leave the stage, but at the same time, I was so stressed. Like, my face was, I was mad because nobody remembered the jump, and it finally happened. Anyways,
I'm back here.
Get back.
Right?
We talked about this, guys. It's important.
Yeah. Have you seen a lot of carryover of fans in Appleton? Like, same people coming to see you year to year? Are you building just new people every year?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of new people, but I love seeing the same faces because these are people that saw us once and then wanted to see us twice and now three times. Like, man, I love you.
Yeah. I definitely saw a lot of Sweet Lizzy Project shirts roaming around Mild Music. So
one night we were just parking the car at the parking lot, and this person showed up, and I had never seen this person before, and he had one of the first T-shirts we ever put out. I'm like,
oh really?
Wow. Yeah.
Fun.
That's awesome.
That was cute.
Yeah, it's so cool to just find new bands there.
Well, let's go back to when you did get started. So you got started 2017. Is that when the band got started?
No, that's when we came here. It felt like a start.
Okay.
Like a new beginning for sure. But before that, we started in Havana, Cuba, in 2013.
Okay.
Okay.
2013. Yes. It's been 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of.
And has it been the same?
A lot of stories.
The same band members for the whole time?
Well, we've downsized.
Okay.
We used to be seven But then we moved to this country. Yeah, it was an impossible number to manage. It was too hard. And I mean, I was not happy when it happened, like when people left, because, you know, it was tough.
Sure.
We were friends. We came all together to this country.
Wow.
With a record deal back in 2017. And that's the hardest thing we've ever done, like collectively and individually. Like personally, yeah. it was a lot.
Before we talk about your time over here, I want to know more about like the music scene in Havana and how that was, and are there playing rock and roll? Is that a kind of a normal thing? I mean, are there places to go see you guys play rock and roll?
Well, there were places for people to go see us. Definitely, we used to play a lot, but as you can imagine, Cuba is not famous for rock bands.
Yeah,
it's not a thing. There are a lot of people, a lot of fans that enjoy like American rock, or you know, rock music in general, but it's not the kind of music that the government likes to promote as the cultural face of Cuba, and everything in Cuba goes through the government, like television, radio, everything. Even for you to go and play live with your band, you need permission basically from the government to be able to do that. Even if the owner of the venue, the manager of the venue wants you, that's not enough. You need to get that approval from
a
government. It's a pain.
Did you have restrictions like on your words that you had in your songs ever?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there are things you can't say. There are things you shouldn't be thinking, but if you thought of it, you definitely don't want to go out there and put them on a song. But in case you do,
probably no Rage Against the Machine type bands.
Well,
but in case you do, and you put them on a song, that's why they control the television and the radio and everything to make sure that whatever message they put out there is been approved anyways. So it was harder for them to get me because I always chose English as a language to write my songs, and you know, they didn't know what I was saying. But we were not allowed to perform in Cuba for like 6 months.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Like a ban? You got banned for 6 months or something?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that because of things you in your songs?
Because of some stupid paperwork that needed to be signed or something that was not right on their end. And yeah. And again, we didn't have that kind of support that all the bands have in Cuba, or other artists have in Cuba, mm-hmm. because we were completely independent. We didn't come from music schools. I studied biochemistry and molecular biology. I had nothing to do with the music world.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. And so they also didn't like that. Yeah. So it was a process. It took us forever to be able to finally perform. And then because we gained some popularity, we went back to the stages after we were banned for like 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when we were doing really, really, really great, we left. Because we like the struggle, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But was it hard to move? Is it hard to are you permanently moved over here?
Yeah. After almost 8 years, I would say that this is pretty permanent.
Yeah. I was gonna say, can you go back if you want?
Yes, I can. Okay. We don't go back that often, even though we still have some family there.
Yeah.
But we haven't performed in Cuba since 2019, like before the pandemic.
Okay.
Which is really sad for me.
Yeah.
It is, because if nothing like your homeland is celebrate,
right.
Show your songs to, would be the greatest thing ever. But
yeah, that's the dream, right?
For sure.
But now that you're here and you have it's more freedom to write however you want, is that completely change your songwriting process?
Not really. Okay. I still write about the same depressing things that happen in my life. I'm very dark. Maybe I don't come across like that, but I don't know. I have a bunch of sad songs for no reason. Because okay. I have a pretty normal life, but I've always been like this since I was a teenager. My mom is always like, "What? Why? What did I do wrong?" I'm like, "Nothing, Mom. You did a great job. It's just, it's all me. It's my head and my heart. Something's wrong."
All teenagers go through their sullen phase, and you write songs about it. I mean, that's
exactly
that's right.
It's those for some reason those feelings are the ones that I find more inspiring.
Yeah.
Okay. But we did like the third album of the band. It's called Pirate Radio, and it's also available in Spanish, Radio Pirata. And it was inspired by that generation. For many years in Cuba, you could go to jail if you had a record of the Beatles at home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was considered the music of the enemy. Yeah, it's sad, but it's funny. But sad again. So so we wrote an album inspired by that generation that used to create like or build homemade radios, like a radio machine or something, to get the radio stations from the United States and to be able to listen to the music. So that's the concept of the album, Pirate Radio. But it really is about like the lack of freedom and the country that's been suffering from communism for more than 60 years, which is mind blowing. Especially because
still goes
nothing
on, right?
works. So when you hear the stories and the way people live in Cuba, you might think like, but that shouldn't be like that. Like, but it still is. So it's I wrote that here because I was here. Probably if I was in Cuba, wouldn't have been able to do that.
So at what age did you somebody say when you were able to belt out like you do today?
At what age found out
that you knew you had pipes to just.
I'd say I was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing with my friends and like singing just for fun. And I pretty soon I realized that my friends were not able to do what I was doing. I just didn't think that it was an important feature at all.
That's not normal. You know, you're really good at this.
I was like, man, what's wrong with you? Like, just do what, whoever is doing, like, just sing like that. And they couldn't, but I had no, musical guidance when I didn't grow up surrounded by music or anything. Nobody in my family is a singer or a musician.
Mm, wow.
So it was pretty spontaneous. And I always loved science and math. So that's why I went that direction. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And on the other hand, I was like, I already kind of know how to sing. So that's there.
Yeah.
Whenever I want to use it. But then, like, during the fourth year of the university, I started writing songs.
Okay.
And that's when everything went sideways, and I met.
So you're in school for remind me again, what did you say, molecular biology? And
yeah.
And you're writing songs. How does that turn into, okay, now I'm in a rock band that's moving to the United States?
A great question. Hold on. My cat wants to leave. Hold on one second.
No problem.
And they will not stop until they leave. Right? Yes.
15 minutes from now should be scratching on the 15 minutes from now should be scratching on the other side of the door. But let me back
in.
It's her world, really. We're living.
We all know.
Yeah.
I got one at home too. Yeah. You just live by their rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
4:15 in the morning, every morning, she's at my slapping me in the face. And I'm like, I don't wake up at this time. You do. I don't.
Yeah. The sooner you realize it's their world and just living in it, the happier you are. Anyway, I was quietly studying in, you know, doing the science path. And then, yeah, I started writing songs. I wrote like two. And I was like, hey, what if I record them? Just for fun. Just for the future. Like when I have grandkids, my grandkids will listen to these old recordings. They'll be like, wow, grandma was really cool when she was young. And that's how I found Miguel Comas. Who is the guitar player, producer of the band. Founder of the band. And we met and was like, hey, if you can help me just record this for me. And then he listened to the songs and he was like, what if we make an album? I have some songs as well. I really love what you're doing. I'm like, no, I don't, not, I'm not that. Like, you know, I'm, no, but we should do it just for fun. And then he ruined everything because I liked it so much that
boys usually do ruin everything. So
yeah, I totally blame him for everything. so we put this album together, and because it was so weird, right? It was kind of indie rock, indie pop. In English, so when people heard it in Cuba, they were like, what is this? And they nominated it for, like, was it the equivalent of the Grammys in Cuba?
Wow.
Yeah, like serious shit. And
wow.
Yeah. You were like, all I wanted to do was record two songs for my grandkids.
Yeah, I'm like, chill, everyone.
What an honor, though.
I couldn't really believe it. And it was sweet. It was weird because I'm like, these songs, I wrote this in my bathroom, and now it's in an album and people are listening to it. And then TV shows wanted us to do things on TV, and like venues wanted us to perform, but we couldn't because we didn't have a band, because we didn't have all the approval things that you needed, all the paperwork. So we started by calling friends and the friends of our friends, hey, do you want to play drums? Hey, do you want to play this? And I go, okay. And then we put the band together, and then we worked really hard to get those the permission, all the paperwork and the red tape, and then we started performing. And then in 2017, here's what happened. PBS went to Cuba, and they were filming a PBS special about the Cuban music scene. It's called Havana Time Machine. And the producers of the show went to Havana, and for some reason they found us. It was super random. And they went to our studio in Havana where we were recording the songs of Technicolor, our second album. And they were so impressed because I call it a studio because I'm a very optimistic person, but this was a very crappy apartment. It was
sounds familiar to our studio.
Wait, our podcast studio is a very crappy apartment. It's not very crappy, but
this was someone's apartment. Like one of the band members lived there, and it was a guy. It was not nice. We couldn't record all together because just the drums were. It was using the entire room. Like we couldn't be all together playing. That was a dream. And it was so hot, and all the equipment, all the gear was very old Russian. We don't have music stores in Cuba, no guitar centers, no nothing. This is really hard. And anyways, the producers were there and they were so impressed that they were like, oh, I want to have you on the show. And then they left. This was in 2016. They left and were like, there's no way they're going to come back. Like, you know, this is a lot of bullshit. Can I say these words here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
There's a lot of bullshit in this industry. So, yeah. And but in 2017, they showed up. And they showed up with like TV trucks, like big cameras, and they were ready to film. The host of this show was Raul Malo of the Mavericks. I don't know if you're familiar with the band, but they...
Yeah, I've heard of the band.
Yeah.
Okay. So he is Cuban and second generation, and he was starting a record label, and he was like, hey, would you like to come to Nashville and record the album you're already working on? I was like, are you kidding me?
Of course. What a dream.
Of course. And then that's how we started the process of coming to the United States.
So where is there more government red tape? Getting to perform in Cuba or getting to come to the United States to record your songs? Because I feel like coming here probably wasn't an easy process either.
Well, the process of trying to perform in Cuba was way harder.
Okay.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean that coming here was easy. But just, right.
No, they're
to
like,
have an
you
idea.
Rock and rollers, get out.
Yeah. It's like, and it doesn't, like the problem coming here was not on the Cuban side. It's like you need a visa to come here when you,
sure.
when you're from Cuba. And that visa could be complicated, especially if the American embassy gets shut down 3 days before your interview, which is what happened to us.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, we're very lucky.
At any point, are you like, this is just not meant to be? Screw it. We're staying here?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I was like, yeah, this is not. I mean, we were seven. It was hard. But we used to play a lot for the American embassy in Cuba. Like we were their band for every 4th
oh, really?
Of July party. Oh. Yeah. And this was a cultural exchange situation because the Mavericks had been in Cuba playing and now we were going to come to Nashville for this album. So they had a few pending cases after the American embassy closed and they called us. I was like, We can help you out. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, nice.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And we're here.
So how big a culture shock is that when you jump off the plane and you land in Nashville? And do you, where's the first place you go? And do you go ahead straight down to Broadway and go check out all the boot scoots? And
it's a lot of information. it's a lot. It's you can't imagine.
You even know where you would start? Even what a boot scoot is?
Man, just the colors. It's like the colors are brighter. Like green is greener here.
Okay. Wow.
This is not an exaggeration. It's right. just everything's so clean and like on your face. And like, yeah, that was my first impression. And then, of course, they took me to Costco at some point. And then when I saw the... Man, you have like 30 different brands of toilet paper. What is wrong with you? Yeah.
30 different brands of everything.
It does feel like
yeah,
what's
exactly,
going on.
Exactly. But you know, people in Cuba always struggle to find toilet paper. So I'm a traumatized child of the... So when it comes to certain things, like, man, I can't believe that we struggle to find this. And here you can find it everywhere. Like a gas station has everything you need.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely different, isn't it?
It's completely different. I'm so used to it now, but I remember how it was everything. And that's why I'm always so grateful. And I don't take anything we have for granted.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. Yeah. A lot of people over here don't realize. They just don't realize.
And I always do my best to explain them just because, I don't know, I feel like everybody would be happier if they knew
how bad it could be. Well, you need to go play New York a lot more before they elect the communist mayor in there because I don't know what's going on with that.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. No, I understand the ignorance. When it comes to certain topics, I'm an ignorant myself when it comes to a lot of things. But when it comes to communism, man, you can come to me and either you are very ignorant or you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Those are the two options there. And I honestly choose to believe that most of the people that come to me and are like, oh, communism is a good idea. I don't think they're bad people. I just think they're not informed. And because the idea of it is very romantic and very thoughtful, but in reality, it's not. So it takes to be born in a communist country and live there for 20-something years to be like, this is not an option for anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
So truer words. Thanks for picking your brain, and it's not a glorious subject to talk about, and we want to hit on your music, but back in your bathroom in college, what possessed you to say I'm going to write words down on paper and make it into a song?
I always loved writing random things, like random thoughts, better out there than in here, you know?
Yeah.
Did you do poetry or something
before songwriting?
No, it was just more like just thoughts.
Okay. Then they happen to blend together beautifully.
And then, yeah, and then I always loved singing.
Yeah.
Even when I knew it was not going to be, my career. I loved singing. So like, it's interesting how people can, you know, write words and then put music to it.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And it sounds okay. And then so let's try it.
Let's try it.
Where do the influences come from? What are you listening to that turns your words into rock music and not like, I don't know what music sounds like, I guess, in Cuba, but I'm assuming your band isn't the norm. So what are you listening to that turns those words into rock music?
Well, back then, I didn't listen to a lot of music growing up, at least not music that inspired me to write music. I remember we had this cassette. This is interesting. We had a cassette, one cassette, and it was like the A side was Boney M and the B side was Shakira.
Okay.
So
that was allowed.
Shakira, yeah. Why? Why couldn't? No, it was like Boney M and Shakira. So I started listening to Shakira a lot when I was a kid, and I liked
sounds
her songs.
Sounds like the same songs over and over again.
Yeah, I learned them really well. I still remember that. I know them. I can sing them. I know all the words.
I bet.
So, and it was her music back then was completely different from what she's doing now. Was all okay. In Spanish, and it was very, you know, rock singer songwriter kind of music, and I love that. But then I got this boyfriend, and he was a rocker. He loved Linkin Park and Avril Lavigne, and that's when I was introduced to, you know, music that really inspired me to write. Yeah. Alanis Morissette, Slipknot, like a lot of rock music. And I think that's when I was like 14. Cranberries. Okay. I was like 14, and then it inspired me so much that I was like, Mom, can you give me guitar? And I started playing guitar, acoustic guitar.
Okay.
So yeah. Where did you get the guitar if there wasn't, I mean, it was hard to come by, you said, with the music stores.
Good question.
So how was she able to obtain one?
I had a cousin in Spain, and he came to Cuba to visit, and he brought me a guitar.
Perfect.
I still have
beautiful.
It.
I would hope. Yeah, that's great.
Well, it's cool. It's cool. Listening to that list of musicians that you listed, I can tell why you guys have so much diversity to your music, because you went from like Linkin Park to Slipknot to Alanis Morissette. That's a there's a lot going on there, and I feel it like it's all in your music, and that's great. Yeah. You can. I mean, you guys have
it's coming out.
Yeah,
it's hard when they ask me, "Oh, what kind of music do you guys play?" I don't know. It's different. And we were kind of weirdos in Cuba because we're not the typical. And there's a lot of great music, like Cuban music from people. It's just not what we do.
Right.
And there's not a lot of what we do there. But then we thought, oh, when we come to Nashville, we're going to be like, we're going to blend in. And it's going to be like more like the music that everybody, people immediately know that we're not from here. Where are you from? I mean, not only because of the accent, but also like because of the kind of music. It sounds different.
Yeah.
You definitely have your own style, no matter how drastic range you go to.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you can tell it's you.
Well, thank you. I guess that's a good thing.
Oh, it's 100% a compliment. Yeah, that was awesome.
Thank you.
So you guys got an album coming out. Objects and Mirrors Appear.
Are closer than they appear. It came out.
I knew I was going to get that wrong.
It's on every car. You can get it wrong.
Right? I know. And I still knew I was going to get it wrong.
First thing I thought, I'm like, you see it every day in your car.
But I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it came out in July 18th. It's been a month. It's been a month. Is it
one
today?
Month? Okay. Yep.
No, today, yeah. Today July 19th? I can't remember. I think it was a month ago. Yeah.
And you guys got an album release party coming up. This will be out. The party's over. You missed it. If you didn't, sorry, we're not going to get you there, but the party happened a while ago as when this comes out. But you got your album release party coming up actually this weekend?
Sunday. Yeah, nice. And I'm so excited about it because we don't play in Nashville that much. Most of the time we're on tour. And like now we're playing in Nashville and it's Thurn Lindsley, which is kind of an iconic venue, and Lightning 100, which is the local radio station, is going to cover the because it's kind of the series they do every Sunday. So it's kind of a big deal. And since I can't perform in Cuba, like this is the closest to home that we have. So it's a big deal. We have a lot of friends here. So it should be a good, it was a great show, guys. Sorry you missed it. It was incredible. It was a blast.
it's actually my birthday, and if I could be there, I would be there because that would be a great way to celebrate my birthday. But
August 24th is your birthday?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So great day for the party. We love Nashville. We've been there a couple times and love it being down there.
Where are you guys based on? Like right now in Appleton?
We're right down the road from Mile of Music. Yeah. Okay. We're in Neenah, which is a little city just outside Appleton. So we're, yeah.
Cool.
I was going to say, before you said, people ask what kind of music you play, and you're like all over the place. But all you have to do is say, we just play great music.
Rock and roll.
I could say that, but then people are not going to like me. So
it's the truth.
I really like the music we do, to be honest.
I
like it. If I don't like it, and I'm not the only one, I'm not unique. So if I like it, a bunch of people out there are going to like it too. Because
I know a lot of people in Appleton, Wisconsin like it. That's for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, isn't that what you got to do? You got to write for yourself, and then hopefully everybody just comes along for the ride.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm excited about this album too. Objects and Mirrors Are Closer Than They Appear. We've been working on it for like 2 years, but it really is the story of our band. It's 12.
Okay. 12, oh, nice.
Yeah, it's 12 years of work and changes and shared experiences, you know, moving to another country and stuff. And it takes time to process those changes, even when you feel like, oh, I'm used to it already and this is it. No, some things are like identity crisis, and you miss home and you miss your people, and it's a different language. It's a lot of different things. So that's what the album is about.
So when the whole band's writing an album together, how many different angles do everybody write different songs and then you collaborate with them, or do you collaborate on all the songs?
I write most of it, and Miguel also writes. So I would say that maybe 60-40%. That's how we do it. And then when the band really comes together is when we are like recording the song and like creating the song as a whole. And that's when everybody has a different take. But we work together on that. But you know, like the first ideas and the words are mostly from me and Miguel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, is there any, you guys get like this at all in the studio that. Or are you pretty?
No,
pretty...
no.
No?
No, oh my God, no. No, we do pretty well together.
Yeah.
So funny story, when we got here, like back in 2019, we were touring a lot because we decided that we wanted a tour. So I started acting as my own manager and booking agent, and I would ride all the venues in the country and like, all right, Massachusetts, $400. Let's go. Why not?
Yeah.
So we were touring a lot and we were actually doing okay. This was even before the record came out, Technicolor. And we thought of getting a house together, the band.
Mm.
Now we're five. We were not seven anymore. Now we're five. And we said, let's get a house together because it's going to be cheaper. We're not here in Nashville that much. And we're mostly touring, so and when we're here, we're gonna have a place to rehearse and to record, and it's gonna be cute, it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be cute.
It's gonna be cute. And then we got the house together in 2019. We opened for Heart and Joan Jett.
Yeah,
that's.
So that was a huge deal. Like these kids coming from Cuba. I was listening to Heart in my bedroom crying because it's such a powerful band. I'm like, oh my God, yeah. I'm never going to meet them. And then I'm backstage with Anne and Nancy Wilson. That's like mind blowing. So excuse me for thinking that we were making it like big. so that's why, yeah, let's get a house together. It'll be okay. And then 2020 happened and we got stuck.
Oh.
In the same house. It's in, when I say we, it's me and four guys. Me, myself, and four guys.
Yep.
Anyways, it was an experience, but if something, it brought us closer together. We didn't kill each other. That's a good thing. We created a lot of music. We played a lot of
how many
shows?
Songs there's... from the new album came out of that stay in your house?
I was going to say, there's only four of you now, so prove to me that you didn't kill one of you. I mean, there's only four members in the band now. Where's that fifth guy?
Buried in the backyard. No. He got married, and he decided that touring life was not his path anymore.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It can do it. No.
So,
but you say that as a joke, buried in the backyard. But you know your video high kind of alludes to that. That's maybe possible. Do we need to follow up?
Actually, today. Well, not today, but what? August 19th is a. It's the first anniversary of that video.
Okay,
so nice. High. Yeah, we were celebrating that today. Yeah,
it's a fun video. Great
really
song,
is.
Obviously.
Thank you.
Did somebody bring that concept to you, or would you have any say into the making of that?
The person that filmed it, Kimberly Nail. She was a videographer from here, from Nashville, and we haven't worked with a lot of people here. We mm-hmm. used to doing everything ourselves, like all the videos, all the recording. We produce our songs. We, if we can record at home, we'll do it because we can, and because I don't know, we just like doing everything in house.
It's punk rock.
Wow,
it's the best way to do it.
We're not that social. We're like, I'm kidding.
I'm not either.
We're like, let's work with this person. It was the best decision ever. She was so creative and so much fun to work with. And, you know, the song was the inspiration of the song had nothing to do with that, obviously.
Sure.
And she gave it a completely different interpretation that I fell in love with immediately, because that video is kind of my personal. I shouldn't have said that. It's the creativity in the video. It's my. I like that. I don't like. Killing people. I don't.
You're not that. Like that. You just like that.
Everybody has thoughts.
There's a difference. There's a difference.
But this was a way to, right? I mean, a kind of a way to express those things you're never, ever going to do by just being a movie, kind of a mini movie.
Exactly. It allows you to explore that dark side that you're never going to
ever
express ever. But yeah.
Now, what does the band do for fun when you guys are, because you guys are actually on a, I mean, I think you had like 3 or 4 days off here, maybe. What do you guys do for fun when you're not doing music? More music?
What do we do for fun? we're not a lot of fun.
Okay.
I'm
assuming you don't live together anymore.
No. Well, I live with two of them. One of them is actually my partner, and the other one is kind of like my brother.
Okay.
And then the drummer, he decided to go live by himself.
He needed too much space.
Drummers
need too much space.
Well, if you think about it, they're loud. Drummers are
right.
Yeah.
Say they're
always banging on the pots and pans and shit.
They're always in the background, anyways.
You guys. Anyway,
he can like live in the garage in the background. It's like every
right. Yeah.
We're pretty much together all the time anyways, because we have the studio here in this house. So we do a lot of live streams. We really enjoy that. And we've built an amazing online community thanks to those live streams. So we do that a lot. So we're together all the time anyways. So for fun, I really enjoy my house. I love being here. And I love doing like home projects. The kitchen needs a new backsplash. Let's watch a few YouTube videos and do it. I love doing those things.
That's awesome.
And honestly, we're just working most of the time.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I figured.
Well, most of the creative folk, when you ask them what they do for fun, they're like, I do what I do. This is what I do for fun. Like, this is my fun. Yeah, so.
It's just hard to separate the creative, like this kind of work. It's kind of hard to separate it from your just normal life. Like, you can always be thinking of ideas for merch or a new music video or a new song, and so it's just hard.
Yeah,
that's why I take medication. I'm kidding, I don't take medication.
Well, you have to let it out so you don't take medication, right?
Yeah, that's why I write.
So when you get an idea, do you speak it into your phone to remember, or do you write it down? Do you have a notebook you carry with you all the time? What's your thinking process?
I used to carry a notebook all the time, but then with phones, I just use my notes on my phone sometimes. And you know, inspiration comes in really weird times.
Sure.
Like,
that's what we've been hearing. Yeah.
It's like, God, seriously, now, like, I'm in a bar, like, it's loud. I go to the bathroom, and I try to record myself real quick, like that idea that I have in my head, so I don't forget. And then it's so funny the next morning when I try to listen to what I recorded in the bathroom, where there's music like really loud, and it's just me mumbling something, and I'm like, no, I lost it. Damn it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But too bad.
It usually comes back, you know? That's what I love about, you know, my process as a songwriter. When there's an idea, and then I temporarily kind of forget, but then it comes back, and I remember, oh, this is the bar song. And then I do a better job with my demo. I use my guitar a lot to come up with, like, more solid ideas.
So going back to having fun, when you go out, what bars in Nashville do you like to go to?
We go to Bourbon Street Blues and Boogie Bar, which is
we love that place.
Wow, yes.
You've been there.
Love it,
man. So we play there once a month.
We saw that. We
said that
I think that was our favorite bar
when we were down there.
I love it. And they're just great. And it's Printer's Alley, so it's not as crazy as Broadway, which is insane.
It is.
So I only go out man, I'm a lot of fun. I only go out when I have to work. Like, hey, I work in bars and places where people drink and are loud. When I have a day off, I want the opposite of that.
Absolutely.
So I go to downtown Nashville, like when friends come to Nashville for the first time. Oh, show me the city.
Yeah,
let's go to downtown Nashville. And I always have a good time. And once you're there, it's fun. All the musicians are great. Like every single bar you go to, you're going to find like really great musicians, which is amazing that Nashville has that. We also go out for, you know, for concerts, like to watch other people perform.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you say you play that bar once a month?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We'll have to look at the schedule and come back to Nashville.
Actually, this weekend, well, that last weekend when I did the, the album release party.
That's where the album release party is.
It's at the 22nd we're playing Bourbon Street, and then the 24th we're playing the album release party.
Okay.
So a lot of people are coming in town for those two shows.
Yeah. I wonder if any, there should be a bus from Appleton going down or something. They were playing.
We have direct flights.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We used to have direct flights. So.
You do have direct flights.
I got it coming up. I got to know, when you were in Wisconsin, have you had cheese curds? Real cheese curds. Like, the good cheese curds, not deep fried cheese curds, like the cheese curds that are just the cheese.
Yeah.
All right.
I've had them.
You're ready to move up here then.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I love them. I love cheese in general. Yeah. But then the ones you guys have are particularly special. That was everything I ate. Like, I bought a big bag for my room and during my music, and that was my snack for everything at all times.
Makes sense.
That's pretty much how we live too. Cheese curds and beef sticks. That's how it goes. Yeah.
Thank God I don't have like lactose intolerance or something like that, because it would have been ugly.
That would suck.
That's not a thing in Wisconsin, actually. There's nobody in Wisconsin who is lactose intolerant. It's against the law.
If they did, they just barrel through. They ignore it.
That's a cultural contradiction there. You can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put cheese in the baby bottles.
Yeah. Did you, were you able to visit anything in Wisconsin besides Appleton while you were here the 3 years?
Well, yes, because we have this fan/friend/almost family already, that lives in Waupaca.
Good job.
Okay.
That is fantastic.
Waupaca.
He has a lake house there, so if my music is not already like the best, then we get to spend a few days before my music by the lake.
It's a beautiful area relaxing. Too.
Beautiful, and this year the weather was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it was,
because the previous 2 years it's been kind of hot, and you know, I'm Cuban. If I say it's hot. It means something.
It's hot.
But this year was just perfect. The perfect amount of music. I'm not over it. I can get over amount of music.
Well, that's great to hear, because you got the, great things. Two best of both worlds with Waupaca on the lake and my Appleton. So that's awesome for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that you don't know the answer to this yet, but that the answer is probably yes if they want you. But any chance, do you know if you're coming back next year for Milo Music?
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous about it, because it's been 3 years in a row, and I feel like next time they're going to be like, I'm sorry. Like, we can bring you back the fourth, but if it's up to me, like, I'd be there. I love it.
I think there'd be a revolt if you guys weren't back. Like, I mean, you guys, Jones Park was, I know Jones Park was full. I don't know where the other venues you played, but I can speak to Jones Park, and it was full and people loved it.
No, the others were packed.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Like,
packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That same day after Jones Park, we played Gibson Music Hall.
Oh, that's another nice venue. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. so good.
It's amazing how many nice music venues we have in just small little area.
We played so many. Like every year we play a different one, and it's just as good as the other one. Like every sound engineer is just top notch. Everybody's just perfect.
Yeah.
So again, so great to hear, you know, this to put that out there, that for any other new artist to come, just great to hear.
Yeah.
So I did want to ask you about the name. How did you get the seven of you decide on the name of your band, or and what other names did you go through before you agreed on this one?
Well, my name is Lisette.
Yes.
That pretty much covers the whole story, because like I said, when I started, it was only me. Like Miguel was working with me, but it was kind of like my thing. So the album, that the artist on the album was Lizzie. And the reason we went with Lizzie is because Lisette, it's just really hard for people. You can spell it like in so many different ways. Even in Cuba, like in Spanish, there are so many different spellings for it. For English speaking people, Lizzie is definitely more friendly than Lisette. So I went with Lizzie.
Sure.
Like it was
that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. And then when we got the band together, we didn't want it to be one person's name. We wanted to make it sound more like a band. And because all of this was so spontaneous, it was more like an experiment, like a project, like something that is not gonna be forever or 12 years, which is pretty much forever. So that's why it was a project. And then Lizzie projects, there were so many out there, and they were so not specific. So
okay,
let's come up with an adjective to put in front. And they went with something I'm not, because I am not. What about Sweet Lizzie Project?
Did they say, let's go to the opposite? Or what was going on?
Well, I was going to say, I did notice your personal page is not so sweet.
You're right.
So.
I was going to say that. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be honest just for once. And I'm going to make clear that I'm not that sweet.
Well, we've only known you for an hour, so I don't believe the not so sweet part. You seem very sweet to me.
Very.
I just told you my bass player is buried in the backyard, and what is wrong with you?
He deserved it. I don't know what to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Your performances aren't so sweet, because you really rock out and give it all you got. And you must be exhausted at the end of your shows.
Not right after the show, later on. Yes, for sure. But after
Once
the show,
adrenaline
I'm just so,
wears off.
Yeah, I can't eat after the show. Like everybody's starving after the show. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I cannot put anything in my stomach right after the show. It takes me some time to
sure
let
wind
it all
down.
Go down, wind down. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They are performances. It's a lot of fun to watch.
You are.
Well,
so what I am curious about is when you did say back when you were doing covers, how did you pick which covers, because of your range of artists you like, that you said, I want to really perform this on stage live?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. A combination of the songs that I like and the songs that I feel I can do justice too, because yeah, there are just some other songs that I really love and I want to sing them, and I'm sound like shit, and I was, no, why, this one is something I really want to sing, and it's just not uh-huh. that great. But for example, another Brick in the Wall is a song that we've been playing forever. We started playing it in Cuba, and it's kind of like a tradition now. People look forward to that song because it combines when the factor that everybody knows it, so everybody can sing along. And then Miguel has a long solo during the song, and people like that too, because he's just an amazing guitar player.
Yeah.
And don't tell him I said that. want him to.
I'll cut that out for you.
Okay, thank you. But just so you know, he's pretty amazing. And then we played Chan Chan, which is a traditional Cuban song.
Okay.
We just put it there with it's a mix of things that happened during that song, and people appreciate that because a lot of people when there's a new band coming to town for the first time and they hear it's a Cuban band that's coming, it happened. It's happened. Like ladies show up with red dresses with a lot of things going on because they're ready to dance salsa, and it's so heartbreaking. So. Disappointing. I'm like, no, we're not that kind of band. So we decided to put that there just a little bit to give something, and we really enjoy to, performing our traditional Cuban music.
Absolutely.
So was that when you had the seven members? What was the other instruments involved there? Like more drums or?
So currently we have drums, one guitar, bass, and
right.
Me. Then when we were five, we had another guitar player that was also playing keys. And okay. Before that, when we were seven, we had two guitar players, bass player, another one person playing keys, and a cello player.
What's that?
A cello player, like a cello.
Oh, a cello.
Okay.
Cello, yeah.
Okay, so horns. Wow. Okay,
nice.
The cello was another person. If you think of the space, it's just a big ass instrument. It was right. Beautiful, but so big.
Yeah. Just a big ass instrument.
They need a lot of room on. Yeah,
it's a lot of room
in the studio, like, on the stage. It's just taking up a lot of room.
When we
they're
were
gonna
done,
need their own apartment too.
We were done packing everything. Oh, it's perfect. Oh no, the cello. Oh,
yeah.
Where are we gonna put that?
I'm going to need three to come to the car to help me carry this thing.
Yeah. Nah, there was a lot going on.
Sure, but the sound was probably pretty amazing at the time.
It was different. It was a different sound. We were not that rock, I think, back then.
Oh, okay.
I think now we're more...
Oh, definitely.
Bitter.
Just straight out.
You're a little more not so sweet now.
Not so sweet now, yeah. My true self is imposing these days. But back then it was more, and I think it's because, you know, the cello and all the other instruments we had, the sound was more folk.
Yeah.
It was still very weird for Cuban standards.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So are they, the seven members, back on your first album then? Is there a cello on the first album?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, there you go. Now I
the
can
first
go
album
back and...
And the second album has cello too.
Well, okay. That'd be interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
So, the best place that they, if somebody wants to go buy your album, where's the best place for you as the band for them to go?
Our website.
Okay.
Our website, sweetlizzyproject.com. We have everything we make there. And we're an independent band now.
Yeah.
So everything is only available there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So what's after the record release party? You guys back on the road? Are you going back out and touring some more?
Yeah, we're going to Kansas City and... the St. Louis area. We're also going to Indiana, and then we're going south. We're going to Atlanta, Alabama, and we have several shows in Florida.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
That's all amazing.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking some time with us. We like I said, we really enjoyed you guys at Mile Music. We can't wait to see you live again. So we're really excited to get to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me. And yeah, you can tell them that you want us back. That's usually what it takes for them to make the decision, even if I've been there three times.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, everybody out there, when you see this, just go buy all the music and tell them, come on back, because you want to see them live for sure.
Yes, do that. Or you know what I'm capable of, so.
She will bury you in her backyard. That's right.
I love it.
Think of my bass player.
Poor guy.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate
he's
it.
He's playing with Ozzy right now.
Oh, no, sure I'm just kidding.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
Well, you too. Night. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.